I want us to talk about creation. I want us to understand a little bit better about how we are connected, not only as individuals, not only internally, but how we are connected to our Creator. You see, I can't get complicated with it because I'm not smart enough. I can't get complex in it because I don't know the complexities. I can get through faith in it and understand God's Word. If I have a question to ask about myself, I go to God's Word. I'm not about to ask you all. I go to God's Word. And God will give me the answers. And most of the time, many of us will be just like your pastor, in that we get the answer maybe on the first read. We didn't like the answer. So we just keep reading and reading and reading, thinking, Lord, please. And, you know, I'm in all sincerity, give me the answer. And I realize He already did. And I realize again, as I'm led back to the Scripture that spoke to my heart the first time, that man, am I human. Man, do I keep messing up. You ever feel that way? You ever give yourselves the same lecture over and over again? Are you ever going to get it right? You want to know the hardest person on you? You. The hardest time you will ever have with forgiveness is forgiving yourself. Well, you know, I don't know that I can go back to church because, you know, people remember what I did. Folks, let me fill you in on something. We don't even remember what we did. Nobody is remembering what you did except for you. Now, when I said, Lord, I give it to you spiritually, the Lord says, okay, I take it, Larry. Now, be about my business. And then when it comes time to be about His business, acting like I have no business, I said, but Lord, I'm not worthy. So I will use that comment to keep from serving the Lord. Well, you know, I'm just not good enough. Well, you're right. You're just like your pastor. You're not. It's not about how good you are. It's about how great our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. When God forgave me, He forgave me. Now, I don't have to go back and Lord, you forgot this one. I didn't bring it up to you, so I want to make sure. Do you really think you can remember all the sins in your life? And do you think that when Christ forgave you and saved your soul that He forgot that what you was going to do tomorrow and He didn't forgive that? Do you really believe that? No. He knows me. And now we're going to look at just how much He really knows each one of us. And we need to understand God is sovereign. That means that there's no other. God said, I'll do what I please to do. I will do what I please. And I please to love you. Aren't you glad He pleases that part? I'm pleased to love you even though you're unlovable. My body, my soul, my spirit. Now, preacher, don't get us confused. I thought your soul was your spirit. I'm going to help us get it all hooked together this morning. We'll have my diagram up on separate screen. And you also have this in your bulletin printout. I want you to look at it. I want you to pay attention to it because I want you to see how we are interconnected with our body, soul, and spirit. Now, don't make it complicated. But I want to give you some facts. And maybe in some of these facts, you will catch on to more about how great our God is and in bringing us together. Okay, let's go back to the Scripture. God is sovereign. God is spirit. Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. The truth part is Jesus. God's spirit indwells me. Jesus died for me. Jesus took all my guilt for me. He paid the penalty for me. He gave his life for me. So God incarnate, God, human form, 100%, 100% God, that's who Jesus is. You got it? How did all this begin? Well, one good thing about it, it began exactly the way God wanted it to. Now, God is not going to worry about what people think. And you be grateful for that. Very thankful. God says, I love you. And there's nobody out there in that world, below the world, anywhere else, that's going to keep me from loving you. Well, your sin can't keep you from me from loving you, simply because my son died for that. So therefore, your sin is driving you crazy, but he says, I put it as far as the east is from the west. As a matter of fact, do you know there cannot one bad statement be brought up concerning you in heaven? Maybe that's why everybody wants to talk about you here on earth. They know they ain't going to get to do it later. But think about it. Well, how did it begin? It began with who God is. Now, not who God is working up to be. God is. I am an ever-changing God. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I do not change. Therefore, our God, who is spirit, wanted someone to love and to be able to love him back. And he created the heavens and the earth. Now, I want you to pay attention to something here. I want us to learn a little something on this also. Creation. When you talk about God created, you need to understand all that exists God created. We got that? Anything that exists, God created. Now, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning. Actually, the "the"'s not there. In beginning. There's no "the" beginning. In beginning. It's a preacher that gets to me. Yeah, it does. To say in the beginning. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, let me lay down a fact for you. It was from this creation everything else was formed. Now, God created the heavens and the earth, all that exists. God did not need to create anything else. So God took from what he had created, and if you'll read your scriptures, you'll find out from that point God formed. He formed from what? From what he had created. When he formed man, when he formed the bird, he didn't go back and say, oh, you know, I didn't remember about the feather stuff. Maybe I should create some feathers here, feathers there. God formed from his creation. He created right the first time. So therefore, he says, I have created all that exists. And now I am going to mold and bond and form from that point. So God started out perfect. Perfect will. Here's something for you. God ended up perfect. Perfect will. Oh, hey, no, that preacher hadn't ended yet. Yeah, it has. I read the book. Y'all need to read that book called the Bible. Read it. And you'll find out that, yes, I'm still saved. You know, you have the cases of the stupid as you grow through life. That's the reason I encourage you parents to be a little kinder to the young ones, because if they seem to be going off, it's probably where the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. It's called the human existence, life. One step at a time. God said, I'm sovereign, I am spirit, and God created all that exists. Now, from that, look at, there's a Genesis 1, Genesis 2. Everybody's going nuts on the, well, there's two creation stories. One's Genesis 1, one's Genesis 2. No, there is not. Genesis 1 deals with creation, the creation of heaven and earth and all that exists, then the forming of man, and then all the continual about to what went on in the first time of existence. Genesis 2, if you read it, you'll notice focuses more on us, on who we are, people. And he gets a little more technical. But he says, look in Genesis 2, first part of verse 7. Now, why did I go to Genesis 2 first? Because in Genesis 2, you will find where God formed man. He did not have to recreate man. He formed man from his creation. From the dust of the earth, what he had already created, then he formed the man from the dust of the ground. So he's forming out of the clay, out of the dust. He's forming what we know as the body. And God lays us out, pun intended, forming us, and he's looking at his molding of what he would classify as the only part of creation that would have the ability to love him back. Do you know you can choose to love God or not love him? Did you know that we are the only part of God's creation that has that choice? Free will? Choose to do or not to do? Do you know whether you do or don't, God still loves you? But through your own actions, you will judge yourself. Not God's judgment, your judgment upon yourself. He said, I formed the body of man. God formed the man from the dust of the ground. That's the first part, the body, the shell. Or a spacesuit for earth. So we can walk around down here. Then God animated the body. Some of us have lost our animation. We're not moving like God created us to move. But God then, Genesis 2, second part of verse 7, and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living soul. Now, the body part deals with your five senses. Touch, hear, smell, see, something else. Hear. Well, see, that's my problem. And that seems to be all of humanity's problem. God gave us good hearing. He gave me spiritual hearing. Now, the human part of the body, of the five senses, hearing, mine isn't doing very well. But do you know you will never get to a point in your life to where you can't hear God, his spirit? Do you know he can always get through? Don't tell me your line's busy. God always gets through. Now, the big question is, do I answer? Do I listen? Do I learn? Do I count? All of that has to do with the key to our existence. Our soul, well, that's our psyche. That's all the inner workings here. When you all look at your diagram I have there for you, you will see that there's that thin yellow line that connects all of this. Body, soul, the inner being, all the way to the spirit. And people say, well, which part of that do we keep? Only the good parts. Only the good parts. Not going to need the body. Even Einstein said that. He said if man could use 100% of his brain, he wouldn't need his body. Now, I didn't pay much attention to what Einstein said or taught because he was so far over my head. But that'll make you think. And yet the mind, the brain, is the human element. You agree with that? All the organs are human elements. Dust. So therefore, as God looks at us and he formed us, he says, you're going to be the only one of all creation that I am going to come in contact with to love you and you love me back freely. Freely care. That part is spirit. Now, I'm jumping back to Genesis 1 on this one. Look at it. Genesis 1 verse 27. Well, let me read 7, Genesis 2, 7 first. And it breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul, or a living being, animated. Then the spirit was a creation of God. But let's get the key here. Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in his own image. What image did I say God is? Spirit. So it is God who placed his spirit. He created his spirit in the man. Not double creation. God's spirit created in man. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So therefore, you and I are formed bodies, formed souls that can relate psychically, psychologically, and to be able to feel, to touch, to have feelings and emotions, care, concern. But then it gets spiritual. So when I'm talking about spiritual awakening 2018, make it personal. I'm talking about you and I. Every individual is given the opportunity to have a personal relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's his plan. That's his gift. That's his love letter to you and to me. God said, I'm going to love you, Larry. All the bad cases of the stupid, I'm loving you right through them. And when you're down, I'll be there. I'm not going to leave you down. I'm getting you up. Too many Christians are down today. Time we get up. Time we accept our calling. But greater than that, it is time that we accept God's love and God's spirit and come alive. Well, okay, spiritual awakening, does that mean I need to jump a pew? Please don't. I don't want you breaking anything and I don't want blood on the carpet. Please don't try that. Spirituality deals this way. Now, Brother Randy and Miss Paula, I can relate to you all from the human standpoint, from the psychological standpoint. Well, a little shaky on the psychological, but from the, you know, my human condition, that's how we relate to each other. Now, you will know from my actions, or you will know your spirit, God's spirit will tell you about that, you know, that's real. What he said is real. But you and I cannot relate spiritually. I mean, my spirit is not going to jump over into Randy and say, now, Brother Randy, I want you to do this. Or, Randy, I'm hurting, pray. That's not the spiritual awakening. That's you getting weird. No, let's deal with reality. I am a human being and I can only relate humanly. And we can trust each other's spirit. But the spiritual awakening that I'm talking about for 2018 is our connection with God. I am to be spiritually connected with God and His calling and His desires, not just for my life, but for the lives of others that I'm going to come in contact with. It's not about me. It's about God. It's a Jesus thing. And God says, I want you to spiritually connect with me. And when you spiritually connect with God, the direction for life is given us. And my direction to love. I'm not just to love those who love me. It's easier. I am to love as God loves me. I cannot forgive the way I want to be forgiven and get by with that. Jesus comes on and He said, a new commandment I give you. Now I want you to love as I have loved you. Not as others have loved you. I want you to love the way I love you. Well, Lord, that means then if I do that, some of those people are going to be in heaven with me. I can't hardly stand to be on earth with them. Larry, that's your problem. I'm telling you, get connected, and when you are connected spiritually with God's Spirit, I guarantee you, you will fulfill the journey God has given you, the ministry God has called you to, and you will complete the race. You will finish the course. It's not about you winning the race. I already won the race through Christ. It's not about how good you are. It's how loving He is, how forgiving, how merciful, how gracious. I'm talking about being connected with the best friend you will ever have. The one who will stick closer than a brother. The one who will walk with you and talk with you. The one that will be there to lift you up. God will never put you down. He formed that body. He animated that body. And He spiritualized that body. So my spirit that I am is a gift from God. It is my connection to eternity. Your connection to eternity. And yes, your connection to one another. Because God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some do. I mean, well, you know, if it's spiritual, then there's no need of me getting around other Christians. That's honoriness. That's what that is. We need each other. We need each other in so many different ways. You didn't know that your pastor hurts when you hurt. You need to understand that those who love you don't like to see you hurting the way you're hurting. And when you come together, God says, I will send the ones who need to speak to you. Better be paying attention to, Christian, about who God sends you to. Don't you be going in there and saying, God tells me that this is what you need to do. God didn't tell you that. God will tell that individual direct what they need to do. He doesn't need you doing that because you're going to get all cocky. God is the one that will reveal to you what He wants you to do. And as He reveals it to you, that individual that God sent your way, that Christian, that individual is there to support you in what God has called you to do. That's a spiritual awakening. I'm not in charge of another person. God is. But God says, here's your freedom. Larry, I've called you to preach, but I'm going to love you if you don't. Over the years, I've learned a lot from that. Because the most miserable times I've ever had in my life is when I wasn't in the pulpit preaching. You call to preach, folks. You're not called to sit. You're called to preach. You're called to teach. I don't just preach on Sunday. Ask anybody who knows me. I'm preaching all the time. I've been getting preached to all the time. But God says, I love you. My spirit, Larry, now is your spirit. I can't lose God's spirit. You hear me? Well, you know, Larry, now listen. To me, you just don't seem very spiritual. I don't care. It's not your spirit I'm connected with. I'm connected to God and who He is. God did not call me to preach to please. God called me to preach salvation so that those who hear His word can be saved and hear that truth. That's that spiritual connection. Be spiritual. Make it personal. But that personal spirituality is between you and God. But how's people going to know that you're spiritual? They're never going to know whether you're real or not. You hear me? Never. Only God knows that. God knows whether you're real. Now, Christians are commanded by God to judge the things that are done as to whether or not they are according to His word. That's common sense. All these people that judge not lest ye be judged. Now, don't you be judging. I don't judge any human being, but I can sure judge actions. I can sure look at a situation and say, God says, don't do that. And if you're doing it, that's wrong. Are we not supposed to do that? But I never, and don't you ever get to this either, to where that you feel that you have a right to say that person's going to hell. That is blasphemy on your part. Do you know, as long as there is breath, animation within the body, and basic reason, an individual can accept Christ at any time and yes, on their deathbed? Yes, most definitely. Can you really believe a person can live like hell their whole life, accept Christ on the deathbed, and go to heaven? That's what the Bible says. Yeah, sure. Salvation is of the Lord, not of my actions or yours. It's of God. But I can warn you about this. Don't you dare start challenging God or tempting God by saying, I'm not worried about it. I'll accept Him just before I die. No, don't charge God foolishly. None of us are promised the next second, the next breath. And it is all given to us through the grace of Him who has breathed life into us and of the One who has connected Himself to us. That's the spiritual awakening. My connection with God spiritually. All the rest of this stuff will work out. All of it. You know, whether we ever end up with enough money to pay light bills or heat bills, you better get it, heat bill part done. That connection spiritually with you and God, it'll never freeze out. And you don't need lights because my Lord happens to light up all of heaven itself. And I watch Him glow through the eyes of a child, through the hurting of an individual, the brokenness, the broken heart, those who are fallen. I've been blessed to get to be a part of a lot of lives that have come from varied backgrounds. Truly blessed. And I really get angry when I see someone trying to pull them back down into those lifestyles. I call it righteous indignation. And you know what the Lord says? Calm down just a little bit, Larry. Calm down a little bit. That's why I'm so protective of children. But I'm more protective of the Word and the holiness of God than I am anything else. And I admit that. Because with the truth of God proclaimed, like God says to proclaim it, there is hope, there is victory, there is peace, and we become animated and spiritual. That's called walking your talk. That's called being about my Father's business. And that's what we ought to do. Be about our Father's business and stay out of everybody else's. When we do that, I guarantee you, you'll see souls saved. The whole being. I know that there's a fire burning in me, and next Sunday I'm going to be preaching on that double-edged sword. You know what it does? It separates the spirit from the carnal. I'm already excited about preaching it, and I didn't even know that's what I was going to preach. But I do get excited over God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings and the joy of salvation. We thank you for your love, for the life that you give us. Father, help us as we focus on our own spiritual connection to you. That great spiritual awakening, Father, help us make it personal. Help us to realize that that's what spirituality is all about, being connected to you. Give us the courage and the boldness to follow through with what you call each of us to do this week. We ask it, Father, now in Jesus' name. Amen.